السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 46th session of Seerah Nabawiyyah, Seerah Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we were talking about the bay'ah, the first bay'ah of Aqaba, when the people from Yathrib, from Medina, which was soon to be called Medina Munawwara later on, they came to for Hajj. They came for Hajj, and we know that in the 11th year of Hijrah, the 11th year of the mission. Okay, so the 11th year of the mission, they came for Hajj, and there were six of them who met with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gave da'wah to them, and they accepted Islam. Now, they went back, they didn't give any bay'ah or any pledge, anything at that time, but they went back and they started giving da'wah to the people in Medina. Then we talk about how in the 12th year of the mission, during the Hajj time, the Muslim Hajj, the season of Hajj, these six became 12. So five of the original and then seven extra Muslims came back the next year. And then they pledged allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ. That was called Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula, the first Bay'atul Aqaba. And it's named after the place called Aqaba, which is in Mina. It's close to the Jamarat. It's on the other side of Jamaratul Kubra. So the large shaitan towards Makkah, in between Makkah and Jamaratul Kubra. So talk about how the Prophet ﷺ met them secretly and they became Muslim. And they pledged their allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ during that time. Now, after the the year of meeting with the Prophet ﷺ, the first pledge of allegiance, the Prophet ﷺ sent, at the request of the Ansar, sent Mus'ab ibn Umair radhiyallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Maktum radhiyallahu anhuma. Both of these Sahaba were sent as teachers of da'is to go and teach the people Islam, to call people towards Islam. We talked about some of the incidents where Usayd ibn Hudayr and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhuma, they later became Muslim. They were at that time were not Muslim. They were the leaders of Khazraj, okay? Bani Ashal from the Khazraj side. So we talked about how there's two main tribes in Medina, Aus and Khazraj, okay? And then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhuma, they did not like that their cousin As'ad ibn Zurara radhiyallahu anhu was giving sanctity or was protecting basically Mus'ab ibn Umair and allowing him to give da'wah to the people. And then we talked about how, you know, Usayd radhiyallahu anhu came first, and Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu calmly said to him, "Just sit down, listen to what I have to say. If you don't like what I have to say, then I'll leave, I'll stop. But otherwise, you know, you have the choice what you want to do." He became Muslim right then and there. Then he goes back, sends Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He also becomes Muslim. And then we talked about how the whole tribe became Muslim after that. And there was one man who did not. And anybody remember what was his nickname? Or what was his name? Anybody remember? Amr ibn Thabit. Amr ibn Thabit radhiyallahu anhu, barakallahu fik. And his nickname was Usayrim. So this man was the only one who did not become Muslim at that time. And I actually was looking up about him, and I found some hadith, interesting, mashallah, a lot of hadith about him. Is that one thing is that one of the reasons why he did not become Muslim is he had a lot of people who owed him interest, had a lot of interest, and riba is haram. So he did not want to give up that interest. He wanted to collect that money, and that was stopping him from becoming Muslim. And then we talked about how on the day of Uhud, when his whole family, everyone he knew, they all went out for battle, to protect Medina, to fight alongside the Prophet ﷺ. But this Usayrim, or Amr ibn Thabit, he was not Muslim at that time, and then he went out, he put on his full armor. And there's actually a hadith in Bukhari, سمعت البراء رضي الله عنه يقول أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل مقنع بالحديد. So a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he was basically armed to the teeth. He was fully armored. He had a face mask and, you know, like armor and everything. And فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُقَاتِلُ وَأُسْلِمُ. He says that, what's it called? Should I fight, go out fight first, or should I become Muslim? The Prophet says, Aslim thumma qatil. They become Muslim first, say your shahada first, then go and join the army and go fight. فَأَسْلَمَ ثُمَّ قَاتْ. Then he went out, he became Muslim right then, and he went out and he fought, and he actually died in that battle. He died in Uhud, and that was the, remember I said how Abu Hurairah would ask his students, that tell me of a man who entered into Jannah without praying one salah. So this Sahabi, Amr ibn Thabit, he became Muslim after the Fajr prayer was already prayed, and he died before Dhuhr prayer. So there was no salah that was wajib on him. It was not fard on him. So he did not ever pray a prayer, and he went into Jannah. So this is something, you know, we need to reflect about actually, is that I'm 40, for example. Some of you guys, mashallah, young guys here, 20, some 25, 30 years old. So we go through our whole lives praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know how sincere our actions are. We don't even know if one prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ is saying about him that he has gone into Jannah and he has never prayed, he never even prayed one salah. And the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith, إِنَّهُ لَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He is from the people of Jannah. And also there's another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, actually in the same hadith from Sahih Bukhari, he said, عَمِلَ قَلِيلًا وَأُجِرَ كَثِيرًا. That he did a little. He did very little, meaning as in regards to time of his Islam and the actions of Islam, praying, Hajj, fasting and all that stuff. He didn't do much. The only thing he did do was go out and he fought for the sake of Allah. Not saying that that's small indeed or anything like that, but meaning his time was short. His time of Islam was short, and he got a very big reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُجِرَ كَثِيرًا. Now, going back, we talked about how the Sahaba, they came to the Prophet ﷺ. Actually, the first, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I did mention this. It was called, what was another name for Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula? What was it called? I'm sorry? Nisa. Bay'atul Nisa, barakallahu feek. So the pledge of women, okay? And the reason why it was called the pledge of women was there was no fighting involved, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, ta'alaw bayi'uni ala. So he said, come and give me the pledge. Allah tushriku billahi shay'a. You will not worship anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala tasriku, you will not steal. Wala taznu, you will not commit zina. Wala taqtulu awladakum, you will not kill your own children. Wala ta'tu bi buhtanin taqtarunahu bayna aydikum wa arjulikum. You will not slander people, call, you know, false claims and that kind of stuff. Wala ta'suni fi ma'ruf, and you will not disobey me in any good that I tell you to do. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, فَمَنْ وَفَّى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whoever completes this and fulfills his promise and his pledge, then his ajr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَعُوقِبَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ لَهُ كَفَّارًا. And the one who doesn't fulfill this promise, and that person is punished by tests and trials, sicknesses, whatever in this life, then that is a kafara for him. That will cleanse him from the shortcomings that person did. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَسَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And the one who does not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers him and do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can choose to enter that person to Jannah or what they want, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do with that person. إِنْ شَاءَ عَقَبَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَفَاءً. Either he can punish him or he can forgive him. So that was the first bay'ah, bay'atul aqaba al-ula. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about the bay'atul aqaba al-thaniya, inshallah, today. The second pledge. So now we have six people before the bay'ah, the first year, okay, the 11th year. Then the 12th year, we had 12 people. And they were actually, 10 of them were from the Khazraj tribe and two from Aus. And then the third year, okay, Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu goes back, and actually Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu came, Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu, Asad ibn Zurara, Usayd ibn Hudayr radhiyallahu anhu, all these Sahaba, they actually came back with the Madanis, with the Yathribis, the people of Yathrib, they came back for Hajj, and there were 75 Muslims. Okay, so the third year, there were 75 Muslims. 73 of them were men and 2 women. Okay, and that doesn't mean that the total group of Hajjaj were just that many. There was actually about, they say about 400 people from Medina came, or from Yathrib came, and 75 of them being Muslim. Now, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he says, narrating about this, he says that the Prophet ﷺ spent over 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was going from one camp to another, being pushed from one place to another, and nobody would accept him. Only a few people here and there would accept him, accept the da'wah. And he said that we said to ourselves that, you know, hatta mata, when are we gonna start, when are we gonna allow hatta mata yutrad Rasulullah says, how long are we gonna allow him to be pushed from one tent to another, and how long are we gonna allow him to be fearful for his life? Meaning not him being fearful of his life, but we being fearful of his life, or other his family being fearful for his life. Basically, he's in danger of losing his life. How can we let this happen, or how can we do this? So then we thought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in his heart, that we should call the Prophet ﷺ. Not only just we became Muslim and we started giving da'wah in Medina, but we actually wanted to call the Prophet ﷺ to Medina and basically make Medina Munawwara his new home. Now, the Prophet ﷺ promised the Ansar, he gave them a time, a maw'id, he gave them an appointment time. He said, come to me in the days of Tashriq. Okay, so we have the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, right before Hajj. That's when the Hujjaj go to Mina. Then you have the morning of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, that's the day of Arafat. Okay, then you have the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is Eid. Okay, Eid for everyone, Yom al-Nahr. And then you have after that the Ayyam al-Tashriq. So Ayyam al-Tashriq you have here, and the Prophet ﷺ says, meet me on the night of the, after the 12th night, and early morning, because in the middle of the night, so that no one can find out. And the Prophet ﷺ, accompanied by his uncle Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, they reach the destination, and that's where the Ansar are already there, and they're present, and they're waiting for the Prophet ﷺ to come. Now, Abbas radhiallahu anhu was not Muslim up to this point. He became Muslim a few years later. But because the Prophet ﷺ was his nephew, he loved his nephew, and just like Abu Talib, Abu Talib died as a kafir, but he protected his nephew. Abbas radhiallahu anhu protected his nephew, loved his nephew, and he came out there to protect his nephew, basically, even though he became Muslim later on. Now, now Abbas radhiallahu anhu, he says to the people, after he starts off the speech, basically, he knew what the situation was. He knew that they are coming to give the pledge of allegiance, and they're basically asking the Prophet to move to Medina Munawwara or to Yathrib. So he says to the people and Ansar, he says to them that, oh, people of Yathrib or the people of Ansar, he says to them that, do you guys know what you guys are getting yourselves into? That basically we honor and we love the family of the Prophet ﷺ. We are protecting him here in Makkah. And if you guys are taking this huge responsibility, make sure you know what you're getting yourselves into. Basically, you know, think about it, think thoroughly, and then accept the Prophet ﷺ with you. So he says this to them, and the Sahaba from the Ansar, they respond, they said that that we know what we're going into, and we know, you know, we were here to ask the Prophet ﷺ to go, and we're ready to give up our lives for the sake of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the Sahaba, his name was Al-Bara ibn Ma'rur, radiallahu, he was one of the first to speak, and he says the narration comes that he grabbed the hand of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, "Na'am walladhi ba'athaka bilhaq." He says, "Yes, by the one, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who sent you with the truth, lanamna'annaka mimma namna'u minhu azurana." That we will protect you just like we protect our families. And this is one of the shurut. This was on the conditions. Remember we said, Bayatul Aqaba al-Ula, Bayatul Nisa, there was no fighting involved. In the second one, the Prophet ﷺ said to them that you will protect me just like you protect your own family. and you will defend me and defend Islam just like you defend your own families. So they said that we swear we will uphold this pledge and we are ready to agree to this pledge and we'll protect you just like we protect our own families. فَبَايَعْنَا يَا رَسُولُنَا. So he said, O Rasulullah, take our pledges, take our pledge. فَنَحْنُ أَهْلُ الْحُرُوبِ. He said that we are the أَهْلُ الْحُرُوبِ وَأَهْلُ الْحَلْقَةِ. He says that we are the people of fighting. We are the people who we know how to fight, basically. And وَرِثْنَاهَا كَابِرًا أَنْ كَابِرٍ. That we have inherited the skills of fighting and warfare from our ajdad, from our parents and grandparents and so on and so forth. So he's saying basically we're ready to give up our lives. We're ready to protect you, Ya Rasulullah. Next, Asad ibn Zurar radhan, he comes up and he was actually, this is the third year. He was the one who was, remember I said he was hosting Mus'ab ibn Umayr radhan in Medina, and he was the one who, this is the third year in a row. So he came, he was one of the first six, then he was one of the first 12, then he came back again, the 75 that came in this time. So Asad ibn Zurar radhan, he says same thing basically, that do you guys know what you guys are getting yourselves into? Basically, they're saying this to make sure that there's no doubts in their minds, that they know exactly what they're getting into. You know, when you make a contract, you have the finer details. So they're making these finer details known, that make sure you know that you are basically putting yourselves and your lives and your families in danger by accepting the Prophet ﷺ like this. And they all said, one of the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ that if we give our lives to you and we defend you like this, what will we get in return? And the Prophet ﷺ looks at him and says, Al-Jannah, you will get paradise. Now this is in contrast to a couple weeks ago when we talked about how the different tribes, and one of them actually accepted that, you know, this is something powerful. He didn't accept Islam, but he was about to accept Islam. And he said, this is something powerful. And he wanted to take the Prophet ﷺ back to his tribe. But he made one condition. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, O Muhammad ﷺ, that if we protect you, we take you in, will we get the amr, will we get the leadership position after you have passed away? And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is from Allah ﷻ. He chooses who will take the leadership position after that. And the man actually rejected, did not take the offer of the Prophet ﷺ. And they regretted that later. But they weren't the first. Now in contrast to that, the Sahaba from Ansar, they heard Jannah, that's it. Something you can't even see. Remember the word Jannah from Jinn, Jannah, okay, Junoon. These words come from the Jim Noon, okay, Jim Noon Noon, that root, and these are things that you cannot see, okay? Someone who's Junoon, someone who's crazy, you can't see that craziness in his head. You don't do a CT scan and say, oh, there's a craziness, right? Jinn, okay, Jinn, you can't see Jinn. You can't see Jannah, that's something you can't see. So the Prophet doesn't respond to them, you will get Jannah. And they said, give us your hand, Ya Rasulullah. We want to give bay'ah to you. One of the other men also stood up, and he actually was Abu al-Haytham. Abu al-Haytham ibn at-Tihan, radiallahu anh. And he's from the Sahaba also. He says to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, inna baynana wa bayna rijal, ya'ni al-Yahud. So he says that there are people in Medina, meaning the Yahud, the Jews, and between us and them, we have a contract, we have like understanding basically, fil Medina, hibalan. We have some contract, we have some relations with them. Wa inna qati'uha. And if we take you as our leader, we're going to basically break those contracts, or we're going to break those dealings that we have with them. Yani al-Uhud. Excuse me. فَهَلْ عَسَيْتَ إِنْ نَحْنُ فَعَلْنَا ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ أَذْهَرَكَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِكَ وَتَدَعَنَا. So he's asking a straightforward question. And he's saying to the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Rasulullah, we're breaking our ties with the people and the Jews who are living in our city. And what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you victory, gives you victory over the kuffar, gives you, this Islam spreads and everything, then will you return, will you leave us, leave Medina or leave Yathrib, will you go back to Makkah and go back to your people? And this is a, straightforward question, and it makes sense. I mean, they're ready to give up their lives for the Prophet ﷺ. They're ready to protect the Prophet ﷺ and this deen. So, you know, they're worried. Is the Rasulullah ﷺ going to leave them after, you know, he gets victory? The Prophet ﷺ looks at him, tabassam. He smiles at this at Bara radhiyallahu anhu. ثم قال بل الدم الدم والهدم الهدم أنا منكم وأنتم مني. He says, "My blood, your blood is my blood. Your life is my life. Basically, we are one. أنتم أنا منكم وأنتم مني. I am from you and you are from me. Basically, we are one now. Once I go with you, I'm with you, and I'm gonna and we in the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he lived his whole life there, and then we know the Battle of Hunain. The Sahaba, again, the Ansar, saw that the people, it was after the conquest of Makkah, they were worried. Is the Prophet ﷺ going to leave us and go and stay with the people of Makkah? The Prophet ﷺ held a meeting with the Ansar, and he told them that my life is with you. Mahyakum, meaning I am with you, and my death will be with you. Meaning that I'm with you until I die. And the Prophet ﷺ was buried in Medina Munawwara, in their city. So he says that ana minkum wa antum minni, that I am from you and you are from me. Uharibu man harabtum wa usalimu man salamtum. He said that I will fight anyone who fights you or anyone that you fight, and I will make peace with anybody that you make peace with. Meaning that we are, will become one. So once they said that, and then they asked again, what will we get if we do this? The Prophet ﷺ says, Al-Jannah. And then at that point, they all went forward and they started giving bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. And the relation comes that As'ad ibn Zurar radhana was actually the first. He was the one who was the first to grab the hand of the Prophet ﷺ and make bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. And one thing to mention, I'm not sure if the ulama say, I have to look it up, but I'm not sure if the ulama say that this ayah was revealed at this point. I believe it was revealed at this point, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, ayah number 111, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically the mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought their lives from them, وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, and their wealth from them and their lives from them. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, they have made a trade. This business transaction has taken place where they have sold their lives and their wealth in exchange for Jannah. So that was the ayah that was, I believe, was revealed right then when they made this pact, going on nothing. They didn't want anything in dunya. They just wanted Jannah. And they knew that what that meant. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he appointed 12 leaders of the Ansar. He appointed them to preach Islam. They'll be basically 12 leaders of the people of Ansar, and they will be the like teaching them Islam, teaching them religion. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them that you are the kufala, you are the people who will be in charge of your people, just like the Hawariyin of Isa ﷺ. So Isa alayhi salam, he had 12 disciples. So you are like the 12 disciples of Isa alayhi salam. You're the 12 disciples of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the early Sahaba from the Ansar. So you have Usayd ibn Hudayr radhan, I mentioned. And Usayd ibn Hudayr radhan, he's famously known as the one, this is in Hadith Sahih Bukhari, where he would recite Quran at night. And he would see some type of light or something come down, and he saw that his horses, his animal would get startled from this. So then he would stop reciting, and then the light would slowly go back up. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said that, I don't understand what this is. It comes down and my horse gets startled and I'm afraid, you know, like what is this thing? And the Prophet ﷺ said, these are the angels coming down when you are reciting the Quran. So how beautiful is that? He's reciting the Quran and the angels are coming down to witness and to listen to them. And he actually saw that. He saw the light. Some of the other Sahaba, you had Qatada ibn Nu'man radhiyallahu anhu. And he's famous, you know, when we go over the battle of Uhud, inshallah. He got injured. An arrow, okay, this is kind of gross, but this arrow went into his eye. And his eye was hanging out of his socket. So he goes to the Prophet ﷺ holding his eye. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have this problem. The Prophet ﷺ takes his eye, puts it back in the socket, and he makes dua, and the eye becomes like cured, like it never happened, like nothing ever happened to it. So that was one of the miracles. That was Qatada ibn Nu'man. He was also one of those who came here. There was Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Again, there's 75 of them, so I can't mention everyone, but just one more I'll mention. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. He was the one in the Ghazwa of Mu'tah when the Prophet appointed Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu as three leaders of the army. And he sent them out, and the army was camping outside of Medina. They're ready to leave. They're basically going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, he actually stayed back. He stayed back. The next day was Jum'ah. He gets up, he goes to the masjid, prays Jum'ah prayer behind the Prophet ﷺ, and Rasulullah ﷺ turns around, he sees him. He says, "What are you doing here? I thought I sent you out yesterday with the Jum'ah, with the people. They went out. So what's going on? Why are you here?" And he says that, "I wanted to pray. I knew that this is going to be my last prayer. I didn't know if I'm going to ever come back and see you again. I wanted to pray one more prayer behind you. So that's why I stayed back." The Prophet ﷺ told him that those companions of yours, even though he prayed Jum'ah behind the Prophet ﷺ in Masjid Nabawi, he said that your companions, because they went out one day earlier, one night earlier than you, they will enter Jannah basically before 500 years before you, I believe it's 500 years before. And he said that one morning, غَدْوَةً أَوْ رَوْحَةً فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ is better than the dunya and whatever is in it. So that's one of the other sahaba. And I don't want to leave out the two women. So there was two women. One of them is very famous, Amara Nusayba bin Ka'b, bint Ka'b, radiallahu anha. And she was, and the other one was Asma bint Amr, radiallahu anha. So Amara, radiallahu anha, she's actually famously known. Nusayba, she was very good in battle and fighting. And in the battle of Uhud, she was one of those who stayed close to the Prophet ﷺ, protecting him. And the Prophet ﷺ said about her that wherever I looked, wherever the kuffar or the enemy came to attack, Nusayba radhiallahu anha was there to defend the Prophet ﷺ. So she was there. She got wounded in that battle. She actually had a very deep scar in her shoulder, and it took, they say, about a year to heal. And later on, even when she got even older, I think she was 33, I think, when this battle of Uhud took place. And even later on, she was in the battle of, in Yarmouk, or I think it's the battle of Yarmouk. She actually got her arm cut off in the battle, and she lived like that in the rest of her life. So this is Ammar radhiallahu anha. She protected the Prophet ﷺ during Uhud, and even later on she participated in many battles. Okay, so one thing about the pledge of the women.
Who was that, the lady?
Muni Asma bint Amr radhiallahu anha. And one thing is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he took the pledge from the women, so when he would take the pledge, the Prophet ﷺ would never touch the hands of the women. Okay, so Aisha radhiallahu anha, she narrates a hadith. She says, "Wala wallahi ma masat yadu Rasulillahi sallam yada mra'atin qat." Meaning the Prophet sallam never touched the hand of a non-mahram woman. Okay, غير أنه يبايعهن بالكلام. So the Prophet sallam, for the men, he would clasp his hands, and then he would take the bay'ah. For the women, it would be just kalam. So they would say, they would repeat after the Prophet ﷺ and say that we pledge allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, one of the things that happened after this bay'ah has taken place, we know that shayateen are roaming around. They're always everywhere, and they're always our enemy. They're always, we have to take them as our enemy. Allah SWT tells us in the Quran, take the shaitan as your enemy. So shaitan, actually, one of the shayateen who was in that valley, he saw what was happening. And the Prophet ﷺ actually says, so basically after they have given bay'ah, this shaitan actually goes up to the top of a mountain, and he calls out to the top of his lungs, to the top of his voice, to the people of Makkah. And he says, this is the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu. He says, "Lamma bay'na Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saraha shaytan min ra's al-aqaba bi ab'adi sawtin sami'tuhu qat." He said that I never heard a voice so strong and so loud like that before. But he went up to the high points and saraha. He screamed out. He yelled out. He said, "Ya ahl al jubajib wal jubajib al manazim." Meaning, "Oh, the people of the houses, oh, the people of Makkah, hal lakum fi mudhammamin." I can't even say mudhammamin. Okay, the mudhammam. This is actually na'udhu billah. This is one of the nicknames the kuffar of Makkah would call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and them, this is from someone who, basically someone who is disgraced or someone who's lowly. So they would, instead of saying Muhammad, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the name Muhammad is from tahmid, which means the one who is praised. But they would change that and they would say mudhammam. They would say that no, he is not the praised one, he is the one who is disgraced. Na'udhu billah. So the shaitan says, using that word, he said, "Hallakum fi mudhammam was-subatu ma'ahu qad ajma'u ala harbikum." He calls out to them and says that Rasulullah and his people have got together and they are doing a pledge. They are basically making a meeting on attacking you and fighting you, ala harbikum, fighting you. قال, and then Ibn Ishaq, he says, ما يقوله عدو الله محمد. He did not say Muhammad. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا أزب العقبة هذا ابن أزيب اسم أي عدو الله أما والله لا أفرغن لك. So the Prophet says that this is the shaitan of this area. And he basically says that, he calls out to the shaitan. He says that, basically, I'm going to take care of you. Now, the Prophet ﷺ says to the Sahaba, to the Ansar, "Irfa'u ila rihalikum," go back to your tents, quickly go back. So they all disperse, they go back to their tents, and as if they never were out, they sneak back into their tents, go to sleep. And one of the Sahaba, the one I mentioned, Abbas ibn Ubadah. No, I didn't mention him. Abbas ibn Ubadah, this was another Sahaba from Ansar. He says to the Prophet that وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَإِنْ شَئْتَ لَنَمِيلَنَّ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ مِنَا غَدًا بِأَسْيَافِنَا. He says that, "Oh, Rasulullah, if you wish, we're ready to fight these people. So we don't need to go back. We're ready. If they come and attack, we're ready to fight with our swords right now." And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Lam u'mar bi dhalik." I have not been ordered to fight. Meaning, I have not been ordered for that. So go back to your tents. Now, one of the things that happens is the people in the morning, when after the sun rises and stuff, the people of Makkah, they all rush towards that area, Aqaba, and that area where they heard the shaitan call out. And they try to find out what's going on. Did someone meet or what's going on? And they found out, the people of Ansar were looking at each other and they said, "No, there's nothing happening." And by that time, they were leaving to go back to Yathrib. And then the kuffar found out that yes, there was some type of meeting that took place. And there's something happened. They went out after them and they actually caught hold of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radhiallahu anhu. He's one of another leader from the Ansar. They actually caught hold of him and they actually tied him up and they started beating him and they dragged him back to Makkah. So they dragged him back to Makkah and they started beating him, and then same as like in the past in other incidents, the people recognized him and said, "This is Sa'd ibn Ubadah. He's one of the leaders of Ansar. If you kill him, our trade caravans will not be safe. So, leave him be. Don't do that to him." And Sa'd ibn Ubadah radhiallahu anhu, he says that they let him go. But before they let him go, he actually narrates, and this is kind of one incident. He says that Sa'd radhiallahu anhu, he says that when they were tying, they tied me up and they're beating me, he said that one man came. He said one man came and he said that I saw his face and I thought that this man is a good man. He said, "In yakun 'inda ahadin min al-qawm khair fa 'inda hadha." He said that if there's any good in any of these people, then this man is the one. He's going to come and help me. He's going to come and protect me. قَالَ فَلَمَّا دَنَا مِنِّي رَفَعَ يَدَهُ فَلَكَمَنِي لَكْمَةً شَدِيدًا. He said this man, when he came close, he lifted his hand and he smacked me in the face. And this was Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr, رضي الله عنه, he also becomes Muslim later on. in Fatḥ Makkah, in conquest of Makkah. So he actually slapped him in the face, and then he said, Sa'ad, he says, قلت في نفسي, I said to myself, لا والله ما عندهم بعد هذا من خير. I swear by Allah, there's no good in all these people. There's no good left in these people. So he was given a big slap by Suhail ibn Amr, رضي الله عنه, who actually became Muslim later on. So we'll stop there, inshallah, and we're going to continue with next week the preparations of Hijrah. Inshallah, and we'll go on from there. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.